words I love you are perhaps the most overused, most misunderstood words in the English language. We know what we mean by them. It seems that we do not always understand what we mean. In our culture, love is a feeling, an emotion, and is often passing and transitory. When we use the word love, we use it in different ways. I love my husband in a way that is different than the way I love my daughter. I love my best friend in a different way still, which is also different than the way that I love each of you and the way that I love the delicious taste of chocolate. But we have only one word to sum up all of these different contexts and meanings. In the Greek language used in the New Testament, there were four main words used for the term love. Each one of these words had a different meaning and a different nuance. The first word used in expressing love is eros. We know what this type of love is about. It is where we get the word erotic from. This kind of love is exciting. It involves hormones and pheromones and energy. It makes us do some really silly things, and it often makes us do some things that we really, really regret. And it is this emotion that most people think of as love. Eros means a romantic love, a love between lovers. It is about wanting to find pleasure in the company of another and fulfillment for ourselves. When we start a romantic relationship, it lights a fire in us. We become alive. And sometimes we call it infatuation because of all of the emotional and the chemical stuff that is going on within us. It's great. It's wonderful. It's like being on a roller coaster. And like all good roller coaster rides, it's fast, it's exciting, it has lots of ups and lots of downs, but it doesn't last. You can't live on a roller coaster for too long without getting sick and tired. Some people think that when the infatuation wears off, when Eros is getting a little weak, that love is dying. Often it is changing, but we can't recognize the change. In our relationships, we have to recognize that love may start off as a feeling, but it isn't going to remain that. Love is not a feeling. It is consciousness, God consciousness, expressing outwardly. Once the excitement wears off, we are left with the opportunity to build a real relationship, a relationship that is deeper and more meaningful, a relationship that is a fulfilling one for both parties. Love is a state of consciousness. If we see it simply as a feeling, we will find relationship after relationship after relationship going wrong and ending. Apart from this romantic love, there is the love shared between friends. And the Greek word for this is phila, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. We all know this kind of love, and we know that it is much different from the romantic love of Eros. Our generation values friendship highly. Most of us are fiercely loyal to our friends, and we would do just about anything for them. I value friendships highly, And I expect a lot of myself in friendships. And sometimes, unwisely, I expect a lot from my friends. But this type of love, much different from the romantic love, this is more stable, more grounded, more willing to overlook small flaws and defects of character. These friendships meet us at our level of consciousness, and we can communicate and feel comfortable with one another. The love between friends is not complicated, and both parties find a joy in a companionship that is more lasting. The third kind of love that we feel for is for our families. This kind of love is different yet again from Eros and Phila. We can choose our friends, thank God, but we don't have much choice about the families in which we are born. We are brought up to love them, whether we like it or not, whether we want to or not. The strange thing about this type of love, which the Greeks called storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, is that it is very difficult, and for some of us, impossible, to end. Sadly, friendships may come to an end, but no matter how estranged we are from our family, they still remain our family. We may not talk to them for years. We may see that the sight of them, we may loathe them, get totally fed up with them, but they are still our family. And we recognize that we have a duty or an obligation to them. Now, of course, not everyone feels this way about their family. And they find that this kind of love, storge, results in a joyful, wonderful, give-and-take relationships, and it is good. What is different about this kind of love is that it stems from a sense of obligation and a sense of duty, whereas Phila is what we choose to give, and Eros takes us by surprise. The interesting thing about all these types of love is that they don't speak of the kind of love that Jesus, the Christ, was talking about when he said, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. You also must love one another." The kind of love that the Christ was referring to is radically different from all of the others that I've mentioned. In the Greek, this kind of love is called agape, and it means unconditional and possibly unreciprocated love. Agape is a giving of ourselves and wanting nothing in return. It means loving other people regardless of whether they like you or whether you like them. Love is a different thing from liking a person. We like someone else because of the ways in which we can make positive connections. We share a similar sense of humor or outlook in life. We complement each other in some way. We find it easy to spend time together. Agape love, however, is different. With this kind of love, we love others regardless of whether or not we like them. We love others regardless of whether we will get anything back because of our actions. This type of love is not a feeling. This kind of love is not emotional. It is about serving each other, going out of the way for other people, putting ourselves last and others first. It's about listening to each other, supporting each other during the good and the bad times. And all of this is to be done regardless of whether or not we like each other. Having just given you the definitions of the different kinds of love, I would like now to take you back to the call of worship. I want you to listen again to the words, this time with an open heart and with your spiritual ears, and notice something that perhaps you might have missed. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Did you notice that love is not defined only by what it does, but also by what it does not do? In other words, love is not an excuse for our own personal agendas and our ego needs. It does not allow our feelings, ungoverned by the Christ within, to simply flow out and roll roughshod over someone else. Instead, love is governed by the boundaries set by God, who is love, and who loves us with a love so great that we cannot even imagine that it has no limits. The boundaries God has set are an integral part of love. This is important to hear because we live in a world that is telling us that love is a strong feeling and that the key to happiness is simply to let those strong feelings be freely expressed. Like a lot of you, I grew up in the 60s singing All You Need Is Love along with the Beatles. And that is the message that our culture gives in a variety of different ways. Simply go with whatever you feel most strongly about and just let it freely flow all over. And you have happiness and you have joy. It's a tempting image, but don't believe it. It's a lie. We have to be careful, though, how we interpret this call. Instead of love being strong, free-flowing feeling that washes like a tide indiscriminately all over the place, let me give you a different image to think about. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, the passage tells us of the coming of the kingdom of God, the heavenly city, which shall descend upon and someday dwell on earth, a place filled with justice and peace, life and joy. In the heavenly city, St. John saw, flowing from the throne of God, a river, deep, pure, powerful, and filled with the intensity of life. Everything it touched sprang to life and bore fruit of life. In other words, the image of flowing love is a river from the heart of God into your heart and from your heart into the heart of others. In this way, everyone who meets you experiences that deep, clean, flowing, pure, beautiful love that brings life and joy to every relationship. God's plan for this was to have a domino effect, which created a never-ending flow of love among all of humanity. I know I have gone on, and some of you are now beginning to just hear blah, blah, blah. And you're wondering when I'm going to stop talking. Soon. But And perhaps you're going to forget everything that I've said so far in this lesson. But I want to leave you with a little story, which I guarantee you, you will never forget. His name is Tim. He has wild hair. He wears a t-shirt with jeans. And he has no shoes. And this is literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. Tim is brilliant. He is kind. He is profound. And he is very, very bright. He became a Christian while he was attending college. And across the street from the campus where he lived and went to school is a well-dressed, very conservative, small church. They want to develop a ministry to the students, but they're not sure how they should go about it. They just don't know what to do. One Sunday, Tim decides to go there. He walks into the church with no shoes, dirty jeans, his holy t-shirt, and his wild hair. The service has already started, and so Tim starts down the aisle looking for a place to sit. The church is completely packed, and he can't find a seat anywhere. Now, by now, the people in the congregation are really looking a bit uncomfortable, but no one says a word. Tim gets closer and closer and closer to the pulpit, and he realizes that there are no seats. And so, he just squats down on the carpet. At this point, the people in the congregation are really uptight. They're very frustrated, and the tension in the air in the sanctuary is thick. About this time, the minister realizes that from way at the back of the church, and ministers can see a lot from up here, that the deacon is slowly making his way toward Tim. Now the deacon is in his 80s. He has silver hair, and he's dressed to the nines in a three-piece suit. He is a godly man, very elegant, very dignified, very courtly. He walks with a cane. And as he starts walking toward the boy, everyone is saying to themselves that you can't blame him for what he is about to do. How can you expect a man of his age and of his background to understand some scruffy college kid sitting on the floor in front of a pulpit? It takes a long time for the man to reach the boy, and the church is utterly silent, except for the clicking of the old man's cane. Click, click, click. All eyes are focused on him as he comes down the aisle. And you can't even hear anyone breathing. The minister can't even preach the sermon until the deacon has done what he has to do. And now you see this elderly man drop his cane on the floor and with great difficulty he lowers himself and sits down next to Tim and worships with him so that he won't be alone. And just like me, everyone chokes up with emotion. When the minister was able to regain his self-control, he said, "What I am about to preach, you will never remember. But what you have just seen, you will never forget. Be careful how you live your life. Be careful how you love. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read." My friends, God is love. Each and every single one of us is an individualized expression of God. What God is, we are also. Therefore, we are love. Go forth and be the love that you are. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment to get comfortable. Rest your feet on the floor and place your hands comfortably in your lap or your arms loosely at your sides. And just relax for a moment. Be still. Quiet your mind. Let go of all that is outside this peaceful sanctuary. Let go of all those worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. Be still. Be still. Go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father is waiting to embrace you with the fullness of his love. To express the attitude of love is truly to see with spiritual justice. When we do so, we sacrifice or we give up whatever is the outer appearance of an individual or a condition or situation, and we look to the real truth of each person. We look at the spirit of the Christ indwelling each of us, and we see clearly the unconditional love within every person. Unconditional love accepts all things. Unconditional love sees only the good and the noble and the wholeness that is within all. Seeing with the eyes of unconditional love, you know that in every seeming harsh and dark experience, there is truth. In every person, there is a spirit of God seeking expression. Blessed are those who show unconditional love towards others, for they all have God's love shown to them. As you look beyond the limitation and the appearance to truth, you will constantly see the Spirit of God in and as all of life. As you abide in the Spirit of God in all your ways, you too are lifted up and are carried in consciousness by God, our Father, right where you are in your life. God is right this moment embracing you with the fullness of his unconditional love. You are whole, vibrant, and totally alive, knowing that his unconditional love is within you, sustaining you, and maintaining you. For the blessing of your unconditional love, which is in and through all, O most gracious and loving Father, we give you our thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness, and he gives you his unconditional, everlasting love. Amen.